So this morning I want to speak about the exile. The exact time between the birth of Jesus and the escape into Egypt is not specified in the Bible, but biblical scholars estimate between a few weeks and 2 years. So here we have the story of Joseph being told in a dream to take Mary and Jesus into Egypt to escape Herod's massacre of all but boys under 2 years of age. Why the massacre? Because Herod didn't want a rival in any shape or form, even a powerless baby. Isn't it interesting the lengths to which some people, and in this case Herod, will go to when feeling under threat? This morning I want to concentrate on this theme of exile and how it affects us, because I believe many of us have been at some stage in life or are now in exile from family or friends or country. Sometimes it's through God's leading. He calls folk to go and serve him in another country, far from home and all that's safe and secure. Sometimes our exile is self-inflicted because people have hurt us, so we withdraw from them rather than talking out the problem. We say we don't like confrontation. May I just say, no one does. But Jesus confronted people and problems. And if we're followers of his, we have to be willing, with his grace, to confront others when necessary. Not in anger, but in grace and love. And sometimes our exile is because others have withdrawn from us and don't wish to discuss the problem. And in this case, we're completely powerless over the situation. So let's look at this word exile. E is for escape. Going back to this story in Matthew, God knew the danger his son Jesus was in. Joseph did not. But God spoke through an angel to Joseph in a dream and told him what to do, where to go, and why. From verse 13, we see that God knows all the evil ways of people, and he protected this young family by giving them instructions to escape to Egypt. But this escape was no cruisy trip. It meant going to a different country and being refugees. Being a refugee in today's world is the same as it was for Joseph and Mary. Going to a country with few goods, little money, an unknown culture, and no status. Not a comfortable position to be in. The thing that strikes me about verse 13 is that Joseph must have been an alert man. He knew it was God who was speaking to him in the dream through the angel. He didn't wait to check around with others to see if they agreed with him. He knew and obeyed at once. In fact, in the middle of the night. Now, the middle of the night was not a safe time to travel in those days, but they did it without question. The journey would be inconvenient and dangerous for all of them. Yet Joseph made no objection to God, and nor did he delay in doing what the angel said. As soon as he received his orders, he got up and went. You know, Mary and Joseph could have thought, after all that had been told them by God through dreams about Jesus, like things like he'd save his people from their sins, and the angel telling Mary that she would carry God's son. They could be forgiven for thinking having this special baby was going to be wonderful once all the gossips had stopped talking. But no, having this baby meant they were on the move and needed to escape in order to save this baby's life. Now we come to X. X is an unknown time. What God didn't tell Joseph was for how long they were to be refugees in Egypt. They went not knowing how long they were to be there. The angel said to Joseph, "Remain there until I tell you." Uncertainty must have loomed over their time in Egypt. Joseph, always alert and waiting to hear when God would tell him to move. You know, it's difficult to put down roots and settle in circumstances like that. There's a family amongst us who know firsthand how hard being a refugee is. If we're honest, I think most of us would say we like to live with certainty, not uncertainty. But life is not always certain. Relationships can become difficult. A diagnosis can send us reeling. Our financial situation may change, and we wonder how we're going to make ends meet. So there are moments when we'd like to feel in better control of life, but we can't because circumstances are beyond our control. Realistically, like Mary and Joseph, we walk into each day not knowing what it'll bring. And like Mary and Joseph, we find strength through God for that one day, and then the next, and then the next. We can have the confidence of walking into each day with our companion, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. By our side, we are not alone. In calling this family to escape, God was protecting them and had in fact provided for them by the gifts that the wise men brought to the babe. You see, no doubt Joseph would have needed that gold in Egypt to help with expenses. Even back then, there was no such thing as a free lunch. This tells me that God can foresee our distresses and he provides for them. Maybe not always with money, but with the right people helping and supporting. Have you experienced God's provision in your times of exile? When you've realised that in fact he's gone ahead of you and provided for your every need? My first experience of this was 50 years ago, which was only last week, when my first husband was admitted to hospital in Timaru 4 days after we arrived in Ashburton to take up the pastorate of the Church of Christ there. I was in a new town. I didn't know a soul. I had two preschoolers and a husband in hospital 50 miles away and no car. As it turned out, he was in hospital for 5 months. 2 months in Timaru and 3 months in Christchurch. After he'd been in hospital about 2 weeks, I started to receive letters with money enclosed. Now, I've never had a problem spending money. No problem at all. But after the first couple of weeks and the money kept coming, I thought, this is really strange. God must be in this. I think I'd better save it. The week Keith was due to be discharged from hospital, the church secretary drove up in a little Morris Minor. For those of you under 50, that's a vintage car. And said, "I'd like you to take it for a drive," which I did. He said to me, "Would you have enough money to put a deposit on it?" So I went and got the bank book. That's something else that's old-fashioned. And there was just the right amount of money for the deposit. That was God's provision in a time when I was feeling very much in exile. Since then, I've had many experiences of God providing for me, be it money or people, whatever I've needed. At that time in my life, all my props were gone, but God hadn't gone. In the lonely, hard days, He was looking after me, providing for me, protecting me, just as I'm sure He was for Mary and Joseph in Egypt. So the time in Egypt may have felt to Mary and Joseph like they'd been interned. I is for interned. Being confined to a country where they probably didn't want to be. Have you ever felt like that? Interned in a place where you didn't want to be? During this unknown time in exile, Mary and Joseph would have been waiting to hear from God. How sensitively Joseph's ears would have been tuned to pick up any word from God. How sensitive are our ears to hear from God? While in Egypt, Mary and Joseph were a long way from the temple where they would normally go to worship. They were in the midst of an idolatrous people, the Egyptians. But in spite of them being far from the temple of the Lord, they had within their hearts and home the Lord of the temple. In the exile, God was there. The important thing to notice in this story is that God led them. L is for led. God led Mary and Joseph into exile, away from family. And remember, they'd been in Bethlehem for the census, where Joseph's family would have all, where they'd have all been for the same reason. And no doubt they were away from friends too. He led them away from the familiar to protect them. Mary and Joseph weren't in control of their lives. Had you ever thought about that? Being willing to be led by God means giving up control. Being in exile can mean being away from family, friends, home comforts, a culture that you know. It can mean experiencing feelings of insecurity. What's going to happen next? When? How? It can also be a lonely place to be. Isn't it good to know that God was with this little family in the escape to Egypt and in the 18 months or so while they were there? Have you ever experienced being in exile, either physically or emotionally, in a place that is insecure, where maybe there are fractured relationships and you feel powerless to do anything about them? A place where maybe you're not in control of the circumstances? Take heart. If you're following Jesus, listening attentively to Him and obeying Him, then you can rest assured He is with you in your exile. like Joseph, we need to be constantly on the alert, listening for God's voice, waiting for him to speak to us through dreams, other people, his word, leading us on to a place we can call home. A place where we can feel secure enough to put down roots again. You know, as you read through scripture, God never leaves his people in exile. In his time, he brings them to the place where they can call home, the place of security. For Mary and Joseph, their return journey from Egypt to Nazareth was again prompted by an angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph in a dream. And again, he got up during the night and started the journey to Nazareth. Again, not a safe time to travel, but he knew God was with them. And we too can have that assurance that God is with us, protecting and guiding us through the darkness. This young family had escaped their homeland for an unknown time to be interned in a strange country, which God led them into and out of, but not without empathy. The word empathy means the power of identifying oneself mentally with a person. Can we identify with Mary and Joseph in exile? The thing about exile, when we face it, is that it often means pain because we're distanced from people. And God knows that and feels it too, but he's still with us. My experience of life has taught me that it's often in the times when our support networks, feelings of comfort, contentment, and security are upset that God speaks to me about those things. He wants to get through. He wants to change. It's when we're most vulnerable that he seems to speak clearly and gently, yet in such a way that he encourages us to open ourselves to him and allow him to lance the hurts that are weighing us down. And I've discovered that this is often God's invitation to us to go on with him, to grow and learn and be like him. Rather than remain in the comfort zone where we feel all is safe and secure and where we're firmly in control. My own experience is that I really grow when I'm in the comfort zone. I see Mary and Joseph having to let go of the familiar and all their hopes and dreams in order to allow God to save them. There's a lot of pain in letting go all that's familiar in order to change and gain something new. For some, this may be letting go old ways of relating to people that are unhealthy and learning new ways. For others, it may be being patient in a land or place, waiting for God to lead them on somewhere else. For others, their exile is waiting for God to lead them into new areas of service, and they find the waiting time hard. Friends, wait for God to lead you. Don't rush ahead. He will not leave you in exile. He knows where you are and is with you. Before I close, I want us to look at Herod. The king who massacred all boys aged 2 years and under, not just in Bethlehem, but in all the surrounding areas, just to make sure he got the one baby who had been born to be king of the Jews. Can you imagine the grief in the land? Herod at this time was 70 years old. Jesus was under 2 years old. So Jesus was unlikely to be a threat to Herod's rule and power at this time. But power, hatred, and the need to control, plus deep feelings of insecurity, can cause people to do dreadful things when they personally have chosen to leave God out of their lives. In other words, sent God into exile. But before we damn Herod, let's just look at ourselves and check whether we too sometimes don't send God into exile in some areas of our lives and allow our prejudices, insecurities, and yes, maybe even our hatred or dislikes to take us over. Of course, we don't physically kill people. We're too nice for that. But do we murder them with our tongues? Cut them down to size if they don't follow our beliefs or ways? Before we point the finger at people who make us uncomfortable, let's make sure we've allowed God to be present in every area of our lives, that we've taken our insecurities and negative feelings of others to him and allowed him to work with us. In Advent this year, which is the season leading up to Christmas Day, my daily devotionals were taken from John's Gospel. And I was challenged several days by the verse, "The world did not recognize him, but worse still, his own did not receive him." His own did not receive him. As we look back, have we received him in all his fullness this year? Or have there been times when what we've heard has made us feel uncomfortable, and any change we might be called to make has made us feel insecure? And so rather than accept God's invitation to change and grow, we fought it and thus exiled God. As we look forward to the new year, full of possibilities, let's determine to go with God and receive whatever he has in store for us. As Isaiah the prophet said of God, "Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" Will it be something new in your life, in the life of this church? We have to watch this space. Amen.